Welcome to the program. Always an honor to sit in for Jim, be a part of the biggest and most important show in our industry. We are live. We'll do it live on a Black Friday. Appreciate you spending part of your holiday weekend with us, coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Brian Weber with you. Let's do it together in 3, 2, no! You knew I was going to be in the chair if you were listening. Jim was kind enough to mention my name. My goodness, you can imagine all of the pride and my ego swelling the other day in my studio apartment. So by now, if you've not turned off your audio device, hopefully you know my approach when I'm lucky enough to be in for the Hall of Famer. We move rapidly. I don't overwhelm you with guests, only two along the way today. Plenty of big words will be mixed in just to prove I've squandered a lot of education. The goal is to be interactive. Phone calls taken selectively. 1-800-636-8686. Based on years of fill-in holiday work, I know jungle legends will not slum. They will not reduce themselves to calling a fill-in hack like me. So if you have not been able to get through in the past, today's your opportunity. I don't want to turn it into the hack-off, but you have a chance. In all candor, Twitter's your best bet. That's BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Email still functioning, we think. RomanHaveATake.com. All football today, including football, because the staff, more than ever, has completely tuned me out. I don't even know if we're on the air. I know we're not on TV, although I can see myself. The narcissism really kicking in because we still have the television monitors. But when I was chatting with my good friend Garrett Ritt moments ago, as he was breaking down in vivid detail what was working for the Dutch side, amassing that 1-0 lead over Ecuador with World Cup fever sweeping the studio here in Southern California, I casually said, how far away are we from getting on the air? He said, 3-2. So here we are, ready to go. Ritt, 99% checked out, and it's only going to get worse because let me reach over. There's a button right here. The countdown to first touch is underway. Team USA and the UK in a couple hours, and now I'm going to have to show off on Mr. Soccer because this is when I get a little bit antsy. Oh, you think you know soccer? And I start telling stories, and it's coming up in the next hour, about attending a Cosmos match in 1977, as we said goodbye to Pele. Where's Giorgio Canalia when you need him? I'm the voice of Arizona soccer, for Pete's sake. So we will get into what's going on in Qatar. I'm going to moralize. I'm going to rip off from Bryant Gumbel and all the deep thinkers in our industry. There is no reason other than bribe money that we're playing a World Cup in Qatar, and we're playing it in the fall. Still, I'll get you set for United States and Great Britain. I'm not going to kill the show. 95% of it will be NFL. All the takeaways from what was a good watch yesterday. And I'm older than my over-enthusiastic delivery would suggest. For years, we endured straight garbage on Thanksgiving. Even the Detroit game was thrilling. Arguably the best game of the day, unless you stayed up deep into the night to watch the Patriots almost come all the way back, losing to Minnesota. So we're going to go through all those games, look ahead to Sunday slate, and we will break it down in granular fashion. At the end of the program, 2:40 Eastern time, we'll check in with Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk. Hour before that, 1:40 Eastern, a lot of college football. If you know anything about my approach, especially because I've been doing this shift for many years, shift, there's an F in there, I love college football as much as the NFL. Shh, don't tell anybody. So in 40 minutes, I'm going through every arcane scenario. What if the dominoes start falling as soon as tomorrow with TCU losing to Iowa State? I'm calling it. I don't give you a gambling lock, but I'll give you the reasons why that is likely to happen. And then in the next hour of the program, we'll bring in somebody who really knows what he's talking about. That's Chip Patterson, a terrific college football observer. And you enjoy his great work on CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ. So we have given you the overview. There's a variety of ways to get involved. You have to get past Tom, who's looking at me saying, I left New York a long time ago, and now I got to deal with this guy cutting me to try to grab a calzone on the day after Friday. Yes, Tom, all that education paid off. Ivy League, so you have to deal with me during the breaks. I went to a good school in Palo Alto and graduate school to look at RIT on a holiday weekend. This is the business we have chosen. I could go a couple ways to kick off the program with Aaron Rodgers talk coming up in 15 minutes. What a coincidence. My thumb, it's been broken since week 5. I didn't need to tell anybody. Remember, he's immunized, so it's all good. I have been the biggest Aaron Rodgers supporter on every show that I've had on the radio that's been canceled along the years. He lost me last year with that whole being too clever with immunized, inoculated, vaccinated. He has looked terrible, and I'm not using the thumb as an excuse. I do find the timing of this admission interesting, especially knowing that Green Bay presumably is going to get pounded by Philadelphia on Sunday. So we're talking Rodgers in 15 minutes. But based on how I want to kick things off, Minnesota, New England was interesting to me to a degree, especially because somehow Mac Jones came alive. That's the best he's looked since having to endure the play calling liabilities. I'll be kind. How about a guy who has no idea what he's doing as a playing caller in plain English in Matt Patricia? Mac Jones looked as good last night as he did for three quarters of year one last year until he hit the rookie wall, fell apart, and he was terrible in that playoff loss, the beatdown to Buffalo. But to me, that is more of an indictment of Minnesota's leaky defense that we saw the week before with Dallas applying that beatdown, and we saw the week before with Buffalo amassing that huge lead before Josh Allen imploded. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Now, it's a smart business decision, and I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. Hope you're having a great Black Friday. If you want to share some tales of hand-to-hand combat at the mall, hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, 1-800-636-8686. If you know me from any other role other than doing my best not to destroy Jim's brand, I had a cup of coffee at NFL Network before I was walked to my car one day and my key card was revoked. When I worked for the league's own media outlet, when we had the morning show that Kyle Brandt is now starring on, I did not ever hear overtly talk Cowboys because Mr. Jones is influential, but I noticed every time there was a jump ball, if we're talking about a 50-50 shot, how should we lead? It was Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. And at last, Dallas has given us something positive to talk about. Now, it did occur to me, getting nostalgic, driving to work this morning, I was here the day after Christmas last year. And on that holiday, America's team looked phenomenal. Remember that Sunday night game when they destroyed Washington? Well, not as lopsided a win yesterday. If you're thinking about Thanksgiving last year, that was a debacle against the Raiders. But let's just stay focused on the last time we saw the Cowboys play on that kind of stage on a holiday, on the Christmas weekend spectacular last year. And I came in the studio and I told you, I believe in the Dallas Cowboys. As much as that was contrary to everything that I'm made up of, my very fiber, because Jerry Jones has destroyed that franchise that he had a role in building when he deferred to Jimmy Johnson and football people. There's a reason why the Cowboys haven't sniffed the Super Bowl since the mid-1990s. That's because of the inept management of Jerry Jones. Still, if you're watching the games, and I'll connect last year to last night momentarily, the reason I believed in the Cowboys last year was their defense. Micah Parsons flying around, and Diggs in the secondary, and DeMarcus Lawrence. Well, flash forward to what we saw yesterday, what we've seen for the better part of this season. Cowboys, among the stingiest scoring defenses, that's the metric I look at. I don't care about yards that much, and I don't really get that bogged down in the numbers. But among the top five scoring defenses for the majority of the season, bolstered by Kirk Cousins wetting the bed last week. That's going to enhance your numbers when the opposition can't do anything. And Dallas, number one in sacks. So what did we see yesterday? I think the Giants have been overrated every step of the way. That's the New York megaphone. Not to take anything away from how Brian Daboll has rebuilt the culture on the fly. In many ways, the Giants are way ahead of schedule. I still think Daniel Jones is not the solution, not even in the short term. I think they should go shopping in the offseason, but you've seen enough incremental improvement. Maybe they decide to date in the football parlance and use the transition tag or give him a short-term extension. But at least he's been a serviceable, functioning quarterback, and for him, that's a huge improvement. The issue for the Giants coming in yesterday was they were decimating the offensive line, and if you paid attention to the Lions, oh, Detroit fan, where are you? 1-800-636-8686. I didn't do my full dissertation on Twitter after that meltdown yesterday. I didn't hate the third and one play call. Now, some of that calculus is, do you believe Jared Goff can make that throw? I've seen that movie before. I'm here in Southern California, and I know Jared Goff played in the Super Bowl. Hey, Matthew Stafford won the Super Bowl last year. What does that tell you? Anomaly. I didn't despise that play call, but everything prior to it, Dan Campbell looked like Andy Reid in Philadelphia back in the day, butchering the clock management. Old coach Ritten Denver, my man Nate Hackett, thought that was lousy clock management because it felt like Campbell's playing for the tie. Then suddenly we're going aggressive, but we're going to leave enough time on the clock for Josh Allen to dissect the defense. And it wasn't the 13 seconds that Buffalo endured in Kansas City, but that said a lot to me, the way they were able to matriculate the ball down the field a la Hank Stram. We'll talk Lions coming up, but if you're a long-suffering Lion fan, and that is redundant, the Lions have won a single playoff game since 1957. We destroyed the Browns, understandably. And I got a lot of ethical issues with the Browns, and it's going to be disgusting when Deshaun Watson gets that standing ovation. Maybe even when he goes back to Houston, if he's clear, and I think he will be, although he's got to fulfill the terms of his off-the-field behavioral therapy modifications, namely, don't-touch massage therapist. But we don't bash Detroit enough for how irrelevant they've been. But to link it to the Giants, when we saw Detroit beat the Giants last week, picking up their third straight win, and arguably it should have been four in a row yesterday, they shut down Saquon Barkley. I don't gamble on games. I love Jim Rome's big head bets, the smack talk. The fellowship is phenomenal. And my friend James Kelly just mangling every word,
Mitch Trubisky,
participles, and syntax and grammar. Lines. And I shouldn't do this because I might lose the audience. Go Ecuador! In the last few minutes, I got distracted. Ritz said, no, that happened a long time ago. Where you been? Well, I'm doing a monologue here. Ecuador and the Dutch side, the Netherlands, tied at one in the 53rd minute. I'll keep you posted. We're multitasking here. But when the Lions shut down Saquon Barkley, that told me it was going to be a rough day for Big Blue yesterday against a stout Dallas defense. Well, Dak was generous. He was in the holiday mood. Couple picks in the first half, and that game was far more competitive than it should have been. Dallas finds the rhythm. Giants, a nice story, as mentioned, ahead of schedule, but they've been exposed as of late. They've dropped three of their last four, and Dallas now has won four of five. I don't care if they win the division or not. I'm not undermining Philadelphia. I believe in them. Obviously, nothing close to a hot take. They only have one loss. But we saw the major flaw on display when Philadelphia suffered that defeat. They got destroyed by Washington's run game. Washington, the team we should be talking about, in my opinion, more in that suddenly, amazingly competitive NFC East. But Dallas showed me enough last night, small sample size, to go back to that notion I had at the business end of last season. I believe in this team. Now, I watched that playoff game against the 49ers, so here is going to be the follow-up. I believe in this team until Mike McCarthy makes a horrendous coaching mistake that costs that club in a high-leverage situation. Because did you notice The Cowboys had 13 penalties yesterday. That's your Dallas replay. And how many false starts can you have in the red zone? Don't answer that question because they'll have more in their next game. But in fairness, they should have won that game against Green Bay. I know they didn't. Still, they've won four of their last five. They gagged away that 14-point lead. There's a lot to like about this football team. I don't love that they get Zeke-centric, but that's Jarrah saying, I wrote the check. You got to feed my guy. But if you manage the workload between Zeke, who was effective and efficient yesterday, Tony Pollard is phenomenal with his versatility. And I don't follow fantasy football anymore because I'm trying to have a scintilla of a life on Big Word Friday. But Pollard just reminds you of pick and play any one of your favorite hybrid guys. And I'm not saying he's Marshall Faulk or Roger Craig back in the day, but he's a wonderful asset to have in a myriad of roles. I believe in Dak to a degree. Don't think he's a top five quarterback, but I put him in the upper half of the league. So you amass all of that. There's a lot to like about Dallas, but I still don't believe in Mike McCarthy because you are what you consistently do. And we've seen it repeatedly. Mike will make a catastrophic mistake in a high leverage situation to cost his team. Now, what happens if they get Odell Beckham Jr.? One more weapon. Do we know how good Odell's going to be coming off the torn ACL? Haven't seen him since the Super Bowl. What kind of guaranteed money is he going to receive? I think he was on his best behavior last year here in Southern California because it was a show-me deal, and he was playing for this next contract, but it certainly can't hurt unless he shows up and destroys the locker room as he's weighing the pros and cons. Doesn't Odell to Dallas just make too much sense? I mean, it's almost too obvious. I don't want to go TO.2222, whatever the hell it would be, reboot edition. But you throw him in there with CeeDee Lamb, who looked like Jefferson with his catches yesterday. I'll get back to the point, begrudgingly, this Dallas team has many stellar components. But we're not lining things up like we're playing pickup basketball and just looking for the best players. It comes down to execution. It comes down to cohesion. It comes down to getting it done when it matters the most. Still, who do you really trust in the NFC? As I mentioned, Philadelphia has a large weakness. It is slowing down the run. What's going to happen come playoff time, especially when they host a game in frigid conditions? Maybe it's sloppy and raining or overcast in Philly and harder to have the opposition even throw if they want to. Well, they're going to run more. Philadelphia's going to have to answer that question. I think Minnesota is fraudulent on many levels. Remember, heading into last night, they had a negative point differential. They had been outscored. And just because Kirk Cousins had one positive game in primetime doesn't mean we throw out his abysmal body of work. Tampa Bay, somebody's got to win that division. I believe in San Francisco. Not just my bias spending years in the Bay Area. I'm not auditioning to go work for A10 The Spread, the new home of the Jim Rome Show. A 50,000-watt flamethrower in the city by the bay, as Jim used to say. A municipality by a body of water. But, and we'll get back into this conversation talking more NFC coming up, has Jimmy Garoppolo really evolved? I realize the numbers are slightly better. It's very advantageous that he can check down as he's going to do and find Christian McCaffrey in the flat. But if you watch the games, even that Mexico City beatdown of the Cardinals, Garoppolo just misses too many wide open receivers for my liking, understanding he's been to a Super Bowl, but if he makes that one throw, they probably win it. He was in the NFC title game last year, but he threw the interception that sealed the loss. You are what you consistently do. For Garoppolo, at least he hasn't gotten hurt yet. I'm not rooting for that, but that's been the huge issue in the past. And he just comes up with the absolutely cataclysmic turnovers at the wrong time. I am just getting warmed up. Can we go 4 hours today? Let's warn the affiliates, because I got to stick around and do pseudo Mike Francesa. I can't do play-by-play, but here's a set piece from the corner when Team USA takes on Great Britain. I'm going to come back with your tweets. If Mike feels like working, because he's engaged now with Ecuador and the Netherlands, locked up at one into the 60th minute. My goodness, the tension is mounting. 1-800-636-8686. In 20 minutes, we talk college football. Can I say this directly without fear of litigation? I think I can because he's a public figure. Lane Kiffin is lying. Lane Kiffin is doing his Nick Saban impersonation. I'm not going to be the head coach at Alabama. Insert, I have every intention to stay at Ole Miss. Feels like a done deal. He's going to Auburn. We'll go through the college football scenarios. And straight ahead, more NFL football. It's the Packers taking on the Eagles on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers turns 39 1 week from today. And what do you know? Oh, my thumb. Judge Smales, you're going to have to play this hole for me. Any chance the Packers are going to give Rodgers a birthday present of a playoff push? That is all coming up. I'm Brian Weber. Delighted to have you spending part of your Black Friday with us. In for Jim Rome, you're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you. Always an honor to be in for Jim. Here is the best news I can pass along. Jim's back on Monday, so just one show live that you got to deal with me. Phone calls a possibility, 1-800-636-8686, although we got on a roll, and I've not been back since August. We took a few phone calls last time I was here, so I've hit my quota for the year. I'm like a sales guy. I think I should bank some stuff for next year. We'll carry it over. Emails, always an option. Rome@haveatake.com. Your tweets coming up. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. It is an ATP Friday. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour of the program. We're talking Aaron Rodgers presently. We'll make the move to college football in less than 15 minutes. I promise interaction. We're going to do it once per hour. I can't just sit here and read tweets. That's Jim's show. The Brian Weber show has been canceled many times, primarily because Garrett Ritt was my producer, and this is a wonderful transition.
Thank you.
Salvador tweeting, hopefully Alvin is off. He is. When you have that many kids, he needs a full week to recover from Thanksgiving. Hopefully Alvin is off, and the old tandem, emphasis on old as I editorialize through this tweet, of B. Webb and Ritt are working together like Montana and Rice, Jordan and Pippen, Lennon and McCartney, Abbott and Costello. I will see you and raise you a tango in cash, because Ritt is the second best cop in L.A. Stephen H-Town, time to die, Rome's chair. Hey, kids, when you see Uncle Brian on TV, if I'm back the day after Christmas, lean and mean. That's what I'm telling myself. The steam machine is working. I now have a steam machine in my apartment, in addition to the steam room at the gym, because they've been shutting it down. I'll save that for my podcast, In the Sauna with B-Web. Wells in the 360. I'm sure this will be good. The Lions folded under pressure. They collapsed, but we all saw it coming. Yours, B-Web's chair, in hour number two of the program. My guy Enrico, the connoisseur of the jungle. Have a great show, Brian. Since it's McDonald's, McRib, farewell tour, we're going to have a mini clone stock celebration for you before it's gone. I was trying to avoid that topic. I am in the stages of grief. I'm right now in the bargaining because I keep going to the window going, if I offered you $25, could you scare up a McRib? The answer is no. Finally, Alan tweets, Brian, unlike the McRib, Lane Kiffin says he plans on coming back next year. Will he? Or will he leave Ole Miss in a pickle? Very nice. Alan in Manitoba, your fellow formed pork patty connoisseur. Oh, the alliteration. Well done. I may save that. You could be the huge tweet when I get there in the next hour. Spend a few minutes on Aaron Rodgers because that's all he's worthy of this year. And the audience is always changing, especially on a holiday weekend. If you care about my opinion, I have a microphone. You will listen to me. Have had the consistent mindset that Aaron Rodgers is the most skilled quarterback I've ever seen. Not the best, not the most accomplished. He's looking old. Now, we have to be appropriate in our evaluation because I think we get caught up in optics and Tom Brady, whatever's going on with his face, what Jim's calling him now, Kevin Bacon 45, which is a wonderful handle. Something has changed, I'll put it that way. I might have had some work done last year. Go back and watch those tapes. I was getting some interesting, what happened to your forehead tweets, and I've laid off it a year later, so I'm not judging. But from a football standpoint, the paradigm of quarterbacks in their late 30s has been completely updated because we've never seen somebody at 45 playing at this level. Now, I think it's been slightly embarrassing this year, and I understand everything he's dealing with, and now he's got to read about Giselle hanging out with the trainer. No need for a pity party for Tom Brady, nor having to set him up. He'll be just fine in his personal life. But the decline in the skill set, I think, has been tough to watch. In fairness, though, he's had a couple of good games because everybody can move the ball in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, in contrast, looks old. And I'm not just saying the facial setup or looking drawn or looking forlorn. He looks beat up, and he is, because he's playing behind a lousy offensive line because now we know, and I just think the timing is far more than coincidental, and another reason you gamblers should have a lot of doubts and scrutinize the injury report. How has Aaron Rodgers been walking around with a broken thumb and we don't know about it? Thought the league was going to be transparent because they have all of these gambling partners, and I'm not in any way anti-gambling, and sign me up. How do I not have a podcast? I do, in the sports book with B-Web. Download it right now wherever you get your podcast. But if we're going to have a narrative of you can be fully invested in sports, thinking you have command of what's going on, well, Rodgers apparently has been walking around and playing, more importantly, since week five with a busted thumb. Clearly, he is dusting off the old bromide. Well, it's not an excuse, but it's an explanation. And who am I supposed to throw the ball to? Although Christian Watson finally has showed up the last few weeks. I think what is going on now is strong foreshadowing. And remember, the last time we saw the Packers, they got abused by the Tennessee Titans. And you'll learn a lot more about Tennessee when they take on Cincinnati on Sunday. Remember, Tennessee, after the 0-2 start, has won 7 of 8. You could parse that saying, who did they really beat? But the only loss in that stretch, an overtime loss in Kansas City with Malik Willis under center. And Mike Vrabel imposes his will on the opposition with the way he plays and extends his identity to that team with Derrick Henry pounding things away, toting the rock, and that defense will punch you in the face. But Green Bay looked abysmal the last time we saw them. I don't think things will get better, even with the mini-bye heading into Philadelphia. So when that game results in another Eagle win to up their record to 10-1, Green Bay at 4-8. Here's the conversation you're going to be hearing more and more of. Should the Packers shut Aaron Rodgers down? Well, he's given them cover now, right? If he's got a broken thumb, although Dr. Aaron Rodgers says he doesn't think it requires surgery. And remember, he knows more than any physician. He knows more than people in the field of how to cultivate vaccines. He knows more about the psychedelic experience. He knows everything about everything. Just ask him. He's Aaron freaking Rodgers. But as the Packers limp their way down the stretch, well, the team now has the alibi saying, hey, Aaron, we want you fully rested for next year. And internally, don't they have to get a look at Jordan Love at some point? They invested a first-round pick in him for a reason. And the end game from Rodgers, unless everything last year only bolsters my point, all of that drama, when I was lucky enough to be in for Jim and he's enjoying life in Wisconsin, and every day I'm trying to come up with a new angle on Aaron Rodgers, when we got to the end of the process, you know what that was? That was a shakedown. He just wanted more money. He wanted more money, and he wanted more guaranteed money, and he got both those things. You know what he did not get? A no-trade clause. So in the short term, the conversation now going to shift to, should the Packers, once they're mathematically eliminated, another reason I don't believe in the Vikings is how do you believe in that division? Although the Lions, God bless them, they are the Lions. Better than we think, and I give them credit because their defense was statistically the worst we had seen in NFL history to start the year. But once the Packers are done and they have nothing to play for, in the near term, You'll hear the "It's time to get a look at Jordan Love for a real sample size, 2 to 3 games." And then I think in the offseason, the conversation shifts to, should Green Bay explore trying to get a Russell Wilson-type package in return and move Aaron Rodgers? He doesn't have a trade, no trade clause, but so long as there's mutual consent, so long as he's involved and has a say in where he's going, he wanted out, according to his own words, last summer. Now, I guess the pushback would be, how did that trade for Denver work out? Not so well. And they're on the hook for what, $250 million? Not all guaranteed, because they weren't as foolish as the Browns were with the Deshaun Watson deal, but way too much money for Captain Cringe, who's looking more and more washed. But if you're Seattle, you're 6-4. Geno Smith has been a revelation. He's just a placeholder. They got a ton of draft capital in return. Shouldn't Green Bay explore that? Because they have had, other than Montana to Young, the most seamless succession we've ever seen under center in the modern era of football, Favre to Rodgers. But to get just one Super Bowl appearance, yes, it was a victory, but only one appearance in the big game out of Aaron Rodgers speaks a lot about the dysfunction of that organization, the neglect of the front office to build a more competitive roster, and Rodgers, while he won back-to-back MVP awards, it's not just the loss of Davante Adams. Rodgers, to me, looks like he has, I'm not saying he's fallen off that cliff that Tom Brady jumped off of 10 years ago. Somehow he's still playing at a decent level, but I'm seeing slippage. I'm seeing a regression from Rodgers, and maybe it's a thumb injury. I don't know. I'll have to defer to Aaron Rodgers, MD. But just track those two components I laid out there. In December, you're going to hear more about, should we look at Jordan Love in the offseason? I think there'll be more chatter. Is it time to blow things up, get as much as you can for Aaron Rodgers, and you pick the destination? Maybe San Francisco. I know they're invested in Trey Lance. Everything is negotiable. We'll find that out moving forward. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. We are wide open. No guests until an hour from now. We're talking college football, which I'm also going to tackle coming up 60 minutes from now. We say hello to Chip Patterson from CBSSports.com. Straight ahead, going to take you on campus. It is, I have to say this word slowly, rivalry weekend. How much chaos will we see in the race for the college football playoff? Plus, how do you know Lane Kiffin is lying? His lips are moving, dot, dot, dot. We'll talk about the coaching carousel. That's next. First, let's get you a sports update. Seth Canter has...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We move quickly whenever I am lucky enough to be in for Jim. The phone number is iconic, ionic, 1-800-636-8686. It is an ATP Friday, and you can hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with 2 B's. So a reminder, time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later in the show. I might answer that question. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. As we get closer to hour number two of the program, we'll get back to the NFL conversation in less than 15 minutes. I could do the last 2 hours on the last 2 minutes of the Lions and the Bills. I will not get bogged down in that kind of minutia, but man, at least it was a good watch. Because one of the more tired takes, and I'm sure I did it as a veteran of working throughout the holiday season over the years, why do we have to adore football from Detroit? Nothing wrong with tradition. But for the better part of my adult life, since I mentioned watching Pele in 1977, dragging my father to the Meadowlands, he was not happy. No traffic that day either, right, with 77,000 New Yorkers. I've been around for a couple minutes, and for the majority of my lifetime, that Thanksgiving Day game has been a debacle. Now, nothing changes for Lion fans. And if you have hung with that franchise, with Wayne Fonts being your Vince Lombardi, I have great empathy for you. But at least it was a good watch. If you're just looking for something to do and avoid your family, and we'll talk about the takeaways for Buffalo. Thankfully, it appears Von Miller has only, it's not my knee, it's his knee, only a knee sprain, but that looked grisly when he was carted off the field. Where's Josh Allen at now with the elbow injury? We'll get into that, and we'll go through the emerging playoff picture in the AFC, because like Jim, I'm a big Miami guy. Mike McDaniel, I think, should be the coach of the year if you want to break it up into AFC versus NFC with what Brian Daboll's been doing in New York, a magician working with Danny Dimes. College football is my favorite sport, if I'm just going to be totally transparent with you. Now, the pushback would be, hey, tough guy, if you love it so much and you're so talented, when's the last time you called a college football game? Well, maybe I like variety. So, if you're flipping around tonight, you might hear a lot of excitement. Galen Center in downtown L.A., USC, UCLA, Crosstown Showdown in women's volleyball with a spot in the NCAA tournament on the line. I like to yell. So when there's a big moment, watch out for Uncle Brian screaming, she obliterated that one. I love college football because it was my entree to the business. I didn't appreciate it growing up in the suburbs of New York City. I appreciate the volume of a college football Saturday. The tradition is what I care most about because my monkey trick getting into the business a million years ago was I knew sports history. And if you love the heritage of sports, what's better than the old rivalries, which are fading, of course, because you got to follow the money. So I'm watching, like I do every year, the old Egg Bowl last night. That was entertaining, and I'm flipping back and forth between a very watchable Viking-Patriot game that cost me too much sleep last night because I had to hang around to see if Mac Jones was going to pull it out at the end. Great comeback by Mississippi State. I'm not a Mike Leach guy. I think that's a tired act, and if you've ever dealt with him, it's hit or miss, and it is an act. He knows what he's doing, but he looks like a person who should run for ambassador, or he could be the mayor of something compared to Lane Kiffin. And look, I know what Lane's trying to do, because this is the brand he has built. But whether he's going to Auburn or not, I don't particularly care. Don't stand there and lie to us when we could find out as soon as later today, maybe they wait until Sunday, that all signs point to Kiffin going to Auburn, unless he's trying to get much more money to stay at Ole Miss. But to say things, playing the nuance game or massaging syntax like, I've not accepted a position at Auburn, I intend to be the coach next year at Ole Miss, it just gets unseemly. And that's my issue with the current state of college football. I realize NIL has changed everything. Good. These student-athletes should get everything they can, and beyond that, they should be compensated. And that's coming in college football based on a recent Supreme Court analysis, and I'll give you thoughts on that down the road. In terms of what's going to happen this weekend, and we can do this in 5 minutes. We don't even have to have the strike up the band because Garrett's fully engrossed in what's going on with Netherlands and Ecuador tied at one. Oh, my God. It's stoppage time. Anything can happen. I'll keep you updated. But here's why I love the current format much more than when we go to 12 teams. Because when we get to a dozen teams, I'm not going to care who the 13th team is that got screwed. Four is a perfect number because of scarcity. And these games matter. Like the wild Saturday last week, Ohio State, Maryland was closer than you think if you were watching the game. Last second field goals by Michigan, TCU, and UCLA and USC, a game for the ages. I don't think Georgia loses to LSU. 20 seconds on why LSU should not be ahead of USC. And that is just pure SEC bias. And I'll be upfront with you. I went to graduate school at USC. I'm not a supportive alumnus. They're leaving my beloved Pac-12 conference. So I have no USC bias. But while USC outlasted UCLA, you know who LSU was playing? UAB. Because it just means more in the SEC because they schedule cupcakes in November. And in September. You know what Alabama was playing? Austin freaking Peay. But it means more, unless we're talking about losses. LSU's two losses, don't worry about that. It means less. We're in the SEC. If LSU defeats Georgia in the SEC title game, they are in the playoff. They'll make history as the first two-loss team to get to the Final Four. It's not going to happen. Georgia defeats Georgia Tech, and they win the SEC title game. I'm going to go Ohio State, Michigan. Let me make it straightforward. I believe Ohio State wins. We got to find out more, and we'll talk about this with Chip Patterson with CBSSports.com coming up in 45 minutes about what's going on with the injuries at running back for Michigan, led by Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. Still, I think Ohio State's a better team going after retribution for losing last year. Ohio State could still get into the playoff as a one-loss team, not even making the Big Ten title game. But I'm going to simplify things. I'm going to do this even slower in the final hour of the program. Georgia, Ohio State gets us 50%. Third slot, USC wins out. They're in. I think they're going to lose to Notre Dame tomorrow, but I'm just going through the hypothetical exercise here. Notre Dame, you've not been paying attention. They look terrible losing to Stanford. Abysmal losing at home to Marshall. Over the span of the five-game winning streak, they're averaging 40 points a game. Six of the last eight, they've run for better than 200 rushing yards. USC can't stop anybody. Notre Dame wins tomorrow, but I'm committed to the bid here. USC wins out. They beat the Irish. They beat Oregon. In the Pac-12 title game, we have one slot left. TCU is going to lose to Iowa State tomorrow. I'll give you the reasons why. In the final hour of the program, Iowa State's better than you think. Iowa State, six of the seven losses by a touchdown or less. TCU was exposed last week against Baylor. TCU as a one-loss Big 12 champion is out. We're down to the final spot, and it's Clemson as a one-loss ACC champion. Don't shake your head, Garrett Ritt. You're watching soccer. Who are you going to go with? A two-loss Alabama? This is not Alabama from 2 years ago. Have you paid attention, Alabama? Have you seen what they've been doing this year? Five one-possession games? Don't tell me it's game flow. Eyeball test. There was a lot of what-ifs there. How about clock management? I will slow down. I'm going to do that in vivid detail in the final hour of the program. First, hour number two is coming up. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio.